is Melanie Dodaro from Top Dog Social Media, and I'm really excited to be talking with Michael Crossan today. Michael is a seasoned professional in sales management and business development, and he's also the founder of the incredibly successful LinkedIn group Social Media Marketing. Michael has focused on social media marketing for the past 4 years and is the founder and moderator of the largest social media group on LinkedIn. He's also launched a sister website, Social Mediapolis, to expand the coverage of social media and community topics. Michael, thanks so much for joining me today.
It's my pleasure.
So you have more than 325,000 members in your social media marketing group right now. I'm absolutely in awe of what you've achieved. Can you share with me what were some of the most important factors that helped you get to, you know, just the first 1,000 members? And how long did that take you?
Well, I started the group 4 years ago. I was one of the very early members on LinkedIn. In fact, I was member number 1,039. And I believe that they started their counting at number 700. So I was literally there in the first few days. And 4 years ago, social media was just becoming a topic of conversation. And it's something that I've always had an interest in. I've actually been on the Internet, believe it or not, since 1978, even before it was called the Internet.
Wow.
So I've kind of always been ahead of the curve, if you will. And when I started the group, I was just lucky enough to name it Social Media Marketing, and, you know, that became the word of the day.
Excellent. So do you think that just by naming it that was the biggest contributor to you getting your first 1,000 members?
Well, I'd like to say it's because I'm so darn smart, but no, it was just sheer luck that I picked the right name at the right time.
Excellent. So how long did it take you to go from the time that you started it to when you reached 1,000?
It took about 2 months to get to 1,000, and it took almost 2 years to get to 100,000, and then after that it just skyrocketed, mostly through word of mouth and referral of members of the group. And at this point, mm-hmm. we're adding about 1,400 new members a day.
That's incredible. Incredible. So it took you, did you say a year to get, or 2 years to get to 100,000?
It took 2 years to get to 100,000.
How long did it take you to get to 10,000 members?
Oh, geez, I don't remember. I would say probably 4 or 5 months, something like that.
Okay. So what level was the hardest for you to achieve? Was it like the first 10,000 or the first 100,000?
Definitely getting to the first 100,000 was the most difficult. At that time, I had to do a lot of outreach to my rather extensive contact list and continually ask members to refer other members. But once it reached a certain mass, which was the 100,000 mark, then it started to accelerate quite nicely.
So your tipping point for the group was around that 100,000 member number?
Yeah, okay. That's correct.
And that's when you really started to see it just take off and grow exponentially.
Right.
Excellent. So I noticed that you're adding you've mentioned that you're adding 1,400 members a day. Is that just completely coming from referrals at this point?
No, it's a combination of things. First of all, I made the group an open group, which means that it is indexable by the search engines. And because we have such a large volume of discussions and comments every day, there's over 700 new discussions with ongoing comments. So there is a large archive of content. And so that brings us up high in the search engine. People find these discussions, and then if they want to contribute, they need to join. So that is one of the primary movers of the traffic.
So do you recommend people open up their groups then?
Well, it very much depends on what the particular person's goals are. I think many groups are better off being closed and very tightly moderated, especially, you know, say groups where they may be exchanging proprietary information, such as technology groups. You know, I think it's very incumbent upon the moderators of those groups to very tightly control things so that they don't get into legal issues, you know, proprietary, you know, IP type issues. But if it's just a general discussion group or, you know, an alumni group or something like that, then I do think there's a lot of advantages in keeping it open.
Okay. So now I think that, you know, a lot of us assume that there's like a magic number that you can hit with group members and then the momentum kind of sustains itself. Is that true?
Oh, it's absolutely true, but it also depends, again, on your very specific industry or niche. Because let's say if you're talking to, you know, solar scientists, you know, that's a whole lot smaller group than, say, people in advertising or marketing. And so your number in order to make that group really take off and be functional for the members will change. You know, in the example of solar scientists, it might be just 10,000. You know, in the marketing and advertising, you know, you're probably looking at more like 150 or 200,000 in order for it to, you know, really be a very active group.
Right, sure. So are there any processes or strategies that are important to growing your members today at that, you know, 325,000 mark that were also important in the beginning? You know, for example, I'd assume that there's some things now that probably weren't as, that, you know, now that aren't as important as they were in the beginning.
Yes. Well, it really comes down to providing a service. And the key component of that service is to lead your audience by providing interesting content and discussions and resources. One of the reasons this group is growing so fast is that every week I send an email and I provide free ebooks and white papers and research, access to webinars, discounts to events like, you know, search engine strategies or, you know, other types of key industry events. So doing that as a service and then tightly moderating the group. The biggest issue on LinkedIn is spam. Now, it's not nearly as bad as, you know, some other social networks, you know, like, say, Tagged or something like that. But there are just tons of people who abuse LinkedIn and go into these groups and, you know, start promoting their goods and services. And moderating the group to cut down on that or eliminate it entirely is incredibly important, because if you don't, people start leaving the group because they can't sort the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah. Yeah, I see. I mean, social media is just inundated with spam, especially you notice that the larger your own personal networks get, how many you know, spammy kind of messages you get on a daily basis is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big problem.
Yeah, it is. So how much time do you spend managing and promoting your group now, and what does that consist of?
Well, I spend about 24 hours a day, every day. it is a 24/7 job. There's no question about that. Fortunately, I have 18 moderators who help me with the main group, and we also have 20 subgroups that are niche markets like, you know, social media and construction, social media and entrepreneurship, social media and nonprofit, social media and politics, etc. And so between all us moderating it, it does keep it to, you know, a reasonable work schedule. But every day, about three or four times a day, I will admit new members so that, you know, people who get the inkling to join are immediately admitted. And we moderate the actual discussions at least once an hour, between rotating between all of us.
Okay. So you're very, very actively involved.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So how did you start? How did you get started in social media, and what did you do before this?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I've been online since 1978. I had an ad agency in Boston that had digital equipment was one of our big clients. And of course, they're gone now, but they were a huge player back then, you know, second only to IBM. And they had a government contract to develop some technology, image transfer technology, and we're working with the University of Massachusetts. So at the time, the net was called ARPANET, and it was basically a DOD and educational institution network. And we were doing some collateral for that. So I was in the very, very early stages. And then my agency worked with a lot of other early internet technology providers like Interland and Raquel Interland and others. And I just kept in the technology field all through. I ended up creating a magazine, which was the first IBM PC magazine. It was initially called Reference and then changed to Business Computing. And that was sold to Penwell. And then I ended up working with Inc. magazine and launching Inc.com. And then went overseas and worked with Omnicom, the division there. And my first client was Rolls-Royce. So I'm actually looking at the brand new Rolls-Royce Phantom Series 2 as we speak. And so I just, you know, kept parlaying my experience into these different online venues, then became VP of sales for MapQuest. We took MapQuest public very successfully. Then it was bought by AOL. And then I left and went to Vivendi Universal, their group called Flipside.com. And from there, I finally ended up in consulting and doing some of my own entrepreneurial work.
Excellent. So you've got quite a background.
Been there, done that.
So, question for you. Do you feel it's necessary to keep up with every social site out there, or do you just think that people should, you know, businesses especially, should just focus on a couple?
Again, it depends on the objectives. If the objective is to drive traffic and unqualified traffic, then, you know, you don't know exactly which sites are going to be most effective for you, so you need to have a testing strategy and, assign your assets based on the kind of results that you get. But if you're a B2B operation, more than likely it's going to be important just to focus on, you know, one or two or three. And the big three, of course, are Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Are you active on Google Plus at all right now?
You know, that's a really good question. The answer is not yet. However, it's coming up in, you know, all the ratings incredibly fast, and it's definitely something that I'm planning on activating with the relaunch of Social Mediapolis, which is going to be on March 29.
Excellent. Well, that brings me to the next question. So what is your primary business, and what is Social Mediapolis?
Well, Social Mediapolis is a private community for professional social media marketers. I started Social Mediapolis because there are things you cannot do on LinkedIn, you know, exchange files directly, contact people directly, et cetera, unless, you know, you have to pay for a premium membership. And, you know, being able to work with HTML and Flash and other things like that. So what Social Mediapolis really is there for is an exchange of resources with the different members. And the business model of it is fairly simple. Once we reach, you know, a certain critical mass, we will have advertising on the site. At this time, we don't.
Right. Okay. Okay. So how do you manage your time effectively with social media, and what advice do you have for people who kind of get stuck in that, you know, social media black hole of time wasting?
Well, I would say it's mostly a matter of discipline. You know, if you are a business that has a Facebook page, then just go focus on that page, get your work done, and get out. Otherwise, you'll end up wasting a lot of time on Facebook, because it is interesting, and it's very easy to get sucked into all these completely irrelevant updates from all your friends and colleagues and family.
Okay. Awesome. So how has your LinkedIn group really helped bring you more exposure to your business?
Oh, in a number of ways. I get requests for speaking engagements. I had one come from the School of Business in Copenhagen.
They put on an event. My favorite place in the world.
Oh, is it really?
Yes,
yeah.
I love it there.
Yeah, I haven't been back over to Europe for a long time, but I lived and worked in London, Paris, and Frankfurt, and St. Petersburg, Russia. So I've spent a lot of time overseas, but not recently. But mm-hmm. to go back to your question, I get speaking engagements quite often, consulting requests, which I rarely take because I don't have a lot of time. And then, you know, a lot of connections with people who are marketing partners, so the people that I promote in my weekly email, who want me to help them with their marketing. And that's really been an incredibly successful way to do business.
Yeah, absolutely. That's terrific. So what are the five tips that you would give to someone who's just getting started with their own LinkedIn group to bring in the first 1,000 new members to their group in the shortest time possible?
Well, the first thing is to make sure that the name of your group is the best possible configuration for search, because LinkedIn now has such a massive audience that their own search will bring you to the top if you have created it successfully. So, for example, if you're talking about, say, water technologies, like water recovery, you want to be very broad as you can, without it being meaningless. So you could use the word water technology to name your group, versus something like oil recovery, which is a subset of water technology. So getting a very broad name in the first place is most helpful to growing the group fast. And then you set up subgroups that have the niche, like oil recovery, for example. Or as I use the example of social media marketing, we have social media marketing and nonprofits as a subgroup. So the second thing is setting up the subgroups. That's very important. And third is making sure that your profile is completely and accurately filled out, and that you have all of the keywords that you need to make search within LinkedIn and external search engines be able to bring your group to the top first. Fourth, it goes back really to the very tight moderation, keeping the spammers out, keeping the conversations lively, engaging people, that are members. And then fifth is a little bit of a secret, but I'm happy to share with your audience. And that is that you go and actively recruit only the highest, most active experts in other groups that may or may not be competitive. They don't have to be competitive, but you want to go spot those people who are active contributors in other larger groups and engage them in conversation. Say, I notice you really contribute all the time and they're excellent articles and you've really got a great point of view. I'd love to have you join our group. And those people will, in fact, end up bringing some of their own followers, if you will, just like on Twitter, into your group. So it's very, very important that you engage with people who will contribute and are really positive influences in the group.
Right. Yeah, that's great feedback. Thank you for sharing those tips. So tell me a little bit more about why it's so important to have subgroups. You talked about the importance of that, and can you share why that's so important?
Well, sure. The thing is that each of these groups sort of feed off each other. So when you have a main group and you've got a discussion going on, no matter what it is, let's say it's the new Facebook timeline, for example, you can take that discussion and port it over to the subgroups and engage the people in the subgroups. Those people will in turn share that with their friends, and those subgroups will start to grow as well. So, for example, with social media marketing, the nonprofits or the nonprofit subgroup and the political subgroup have grown quite nicely and contribute to the overall growth of the main group.
Excellent. Okay. That makes sense. So what type of content do you find is most effective in LinkedIn groups? I know there's a lot, as you know, a lot of people are out there posting a lot of spammy kind of content, but what content is it that you find that really works the most, that gets the most comments and creates the most discussions and so forth?
Well, I think it's probably different for every group based on, the subject matter, but I can say that breaking news, like the Facebook timeline thing, generates a lot of discussions very, very quickly. But those discussions tend to die out, within a week or so after it's no longer news. And the other thing that people love in my group is when someone asks for help. There's one discussion, someone posted, would you help me find, a good and inexpensive resource to build a Facebook page? And I think there's over 5,000 responses to that. And it just keeps going and going and going and going. Now, a fair amount of that are people who are promoting their own Facebook development services, which is, difficult because he asked for that help. So I can't, delete those conversations as spam. They legitimately are responding. And on the other hand, there's 5,000 or so comments on that subject, all of which are indexable by the search engine. So that's not a bad thing either.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. So what's bridged the gap between getting, a fresh LinkedIn connection and turning them into a hot lead for those people who are really looking to use LinkedIn to build their business?
It's an interesting question because it goes back to what is the basis of being a member of LinkedIn in the first place. I think that, many people are there just to see who else is in their industry, specific industry. Other people are using it for business development. People are using it for funding, especially for jobs. That's probably the most popular use of it. So it just goes across the board.
Okay, yeah, excellent. So my last question for you is really kind of what's in store for you in the future, and do you have any exciting things kind of coming up or anything that you've got planned?
Oh, I always have plans. the most exciting thing is that we're relaunching Social Mediapolis at the end of this month with a significant promotion. And we'll be using social media to promote it, go figure. That's number one. And then number two, after we reach 500,000 members, which should be sometime June or early July, we're also going to be announcing a nonprofit that we're working on now. So got a lot of good things happening.
Excellent. Well, that sounds exciting. I'm going to definitely keep tabs and see how that all goes for you. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Michael. I really appreciate all the valuable information that you've shared with our listeners and our readers. And I know that they're going to definitely get some really great little nuggets out of there that's going to help them with their LinkedIn initiatives. So thank you.
Well, I hope so. And I'm always happy to help. All they have to do is send an email.